Hear now the reading of God's word from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse, the word of God for the people of God. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice. Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God. Praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And, as Scripture tells us, if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. May God add His blessings to this, the reading of His Word. When the coronavirus, some months ago, began to make its way across the Pacific or the Atlantic or wherever it came here from, at the time, I honestly thought that we would be facing a minor disruption, a disruption for maybe a week or two or three. And as you will recall, on those first Sundays, I said we're going to continue to keep Mountain Brook Baptist Church open and we're going to continue to worship. My heart was to just keep our heads and our hearts down and plow our way through this situation. But obviously that hasn't been the case. No one has been in this sanctuary for all intents and purposes for about 9 weeks. We look forward to the time when people will be able to gather again, but it did not go as I had planned, which I should have figured out at the time. Things rarely go as we plan. What was it that the poet Robert Burns wrote? The best laid plans of mice and men, they so often go awry. Which is to say that you might plan for something to happen, and it will never work out like you planned, which sounds in and of itself like a contradiction, that you could plan for things not to work out like you plan, but after 8 or 9 weeks, we have come to see how absolutely true that statement is. The best laid plans of mice and men, they so often go awry. Which is why we see everyone scrambling to find a way to move forward all around us. People are trying to figure this thing out. Not just churches, schools. Busy trying to make plans for what school situations will look like come August and businesses, many of you doing your best to find a way to keep your business afloat, and families wrestling with what do holidays look like now. All around us, people are struggling. They're struggling emotionally, and they're struggling financially, and they're struggling relationally, and they're even struggling spiritually. So to think about our situation from a spiritual standpoint, might it be that a good part of the reason that so many of us are struggling spiritually, I've thought about this in terms of my own life, my own faith, might it be that one of the reasons that I have experienced, as have you, more than the share of spiritual struggles I ever would have imagined experiencing? Might it be that because there is this sense in which we believe that our faith in Jesus is supposed to keep us from these kinds of struggles, that in a day when we talk about how nothing really can change until someone comes up with a vaccine, there's a part of us that has always associated our faith in Jesus as some sort of spiritual vaccine, that once a person makes a commitment to Jesus Christ, from that point on, the person should anticipate that all struggles and troubles somehow vanish and go away. It's not how faith works. We have no such spiritual serum. If anything, as you look at Scripture, when a person makes a commitment to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, there is even a sense in which we might be facing even more challenging times. But the hard seasons of life, they ramp up, if anything, because of our commitment to Jesus Christ, which begs the question, so why would anyone choose to follow Jesus if we cannot be guaranteed that once we do so, our problems will disappear? The answer as to why anyone would ever choose to place their trust in Jesus is because of the guarantee that we are given, that in the midst of our hard times, when life reaches its most challenging peak, we can know that we're not alone in the midst of the trials and the tribulations that come our way, but that our faith in Jesus provides us with a spiritual presence, with His presence, with His risen presence. And the grace that we need to be able to make it through whatever hard time has come upon us and emerge from that season of trial and tribulation as a stronger, more committed disciple of Jesus. Now that's the counsel that Simon Peter was giving to those to whom he wrote his first epistle. We've been working our way in this Easter season through Peter's first letter written to new Christians to help them understand the benefits that come from faith in Jesus Christ and the importance of growing and maturing in their commitment day by day by day. In this section of the letter, Simon Peter is addressing how followers of Jesus are to prepare themselves for the challenging and difficult moments of life, and how their faith in Jesus enables them to do so. He writes to the church, "Do not be surprised when these hard times, these painful seasons," literally what the text says, these fiery ordeals. Some of you feel as if you are in the midst of the furnace. That image speaks so powerfully. Peter says, don't be surprised when these times come upon you as if something strange were happening to you. Evidently, in Peter's day, just as in our day, there were people, there were believers who thought that somehow once they made the commitment to Jesus Christ, then all of the challenges that they had been facing would disappear and they would never have to worry about hard times again. Simon Peter says, no. No, you don't need to be surprised at when these sorts of seasons come upon you as if something strange were happening to you. So why is it the case that followers of Jesus find themselves so often in circumstances where their faith is being challenged? You look at the Bible, it didn't start out that way. In fact, you go back to the book of Genesis. And when God created all that is and gave to us His breath of life, what does the Scripture say? Everything was good. Everything was very good. God placed Adam and Eve in a garden where everything was provided for them, no challenges, no trials, no tribulations, but there was temptation, the temptation for Adam and Eve to assert themselves, and in so doing, somehow to usurp, to take the place and the prerogative of God. They succumbed to that temptation because they wanted to be like God. We might even say that the best laid plans of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden went awry. And to this day, we suffer onslaughts and pandemics and these bizarre viruses and natural disasters and everything else that we see happening around us that reminds us of the fallenness of this world. The plans, the best laid plans of Adam and Eve went awry, and you and I suffer the consequences, so that we wonder, how do we cope? How do we cope in the face of these difficult times, and how do we make it through them because of how our own power and resources are so limited? Here is Simon Peter's counsel, and I think it represents the genius of the spiritual inspiration that came to him. Peter writes that even when things become difficult, especially when things become hard and challenging and these painful, fiery ordeals come upon us, our response should be, even in the midst of those times, to rejoice and be glad that in some way, as these challenges come upon us, we might, as we trust those circumstances and situations to the Jesus who abides with us, in some way we might become better able to understand the very sufferings of Christ and to share in those sufferings so that as we in a spiritual sense participate in what Jesus went through on the cross for us and for our salvation, Peter writes, we may reach a place once the grace of Jesus has seen us through those times, we might reach a place where we become overjoyed. We become filled with exceeding joy when His glory, the glory of Jesus, is revealed to us. The word in Peter's teaching for sharing and participation, it's the Greek word koinonia. You know that word. You know the word koinonia? Fellowship? Sharing? Communion? We normally, when we hear the word communion and fellowship and sharing, we think of the Lord's table, do we not? We think of the importance of being together in a time of remembrance of what Jesus did for us, His death, and how God honored the faith of Jesus in His suffering death for us, that God raised Him from the grave to give us the promise of life everlasting. We're not going to be able to celebrate the Lord's Supper for some weeks to come. The sharing of the elements, too risky, not a safe practice. So does that mean that we can't participate in any meaningful form of communion? No, what Simon Peter wants us to appreciate is that when we trust the hard moments of life, the difficulties, the challenges that we face, when we recognize that Jesus is with them in these moments and we commit our way to Him in the face of whatever may be happening to us at a given hour, then in some way, in some mystical, spiritual way, we understand in a deeper way, in a better way, we understand what Jesus on the cross went through for us. And there is awakened in us this spirit of joy that as we face our hard times in faith, if we suffer them, as Peter says, like a Christian, like a follower of Jesus, then there is in our heart a gladness that in some way, we are bearing the name of Jesus. As I read these words, Peter writes, the importance of seeing your hard times, such as the one that we're going through now, as an opportunity for us in the midst of them, to know that we are not alone, that Jesus is with us. As we focus on what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, in the face of a time like this, we're better able to understand and appreciate the presence of Christ with us and the importance of bearing this season of life as a follower of Jesus. Not moaning and groaning, but seeking to discover in the midst of it how the power of God is at work in us and through us. There's a story that's recorded for us in the book of Acts, how Peter himself came to this insight, this revelation, that hard times offer us an opportunity to experience and bear witness, to have fellowship, to share, to be in communion with Jesus, to understand something more of His sufferings for us. It happened on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls were added to the church. Peter had proclaimed the good news of the death, the resurrection, and the exaltation of Jesus in a language that everyone gathered for that festival in Jerusalem. They could understand the gospel in his or her own tongue. There was just this tremendous response to the proclamation of Jesus as God's Messiah. Word soon reached the religious authorities who had thought that they had silenced all of this Jesus talk, but now they come to discover that his disciples are in the temple every day and they're preaching Jesus. And not only are they preaching Jesus, but they are doing these remarkable miracles, these acts of healing. They're performing them in the name of Jesus. And so the religious leaders round up all of the disciples and they put them in prison. This will shut them up. But in the middle of the night, the book of Acts tells us, an angel of the Lord, the word angel itself means messenger, an angel of the Lord appeared to the disciples, to the apostles, while they were in prison. The doors of the prison were opened, and the angel gave them the message to go back out and to keep proclaiming the good news of Jesus, which the apostles did. When the religious leaders heard what had taken place, they brought them back before the ruling council and they expressly told them, "We do not want you preaching, teaching, healing in that name, the name of Jesus." A great dispute broke out among the religious leaders. What do we do? It was decided that the best approach would be to flog the disciples, to beat them, to punish them, to exact pain upon them, so that after they had received the punishment exacted against them by the religious authorities, the book of Acts tells us that they left the place overjoyed. It's the same word in Acts as it is in 1 Peter 4. They left overjoyed that they were counted worthy to bear reproach, to suffer, to go through a hard time on account of the name. Whenever hard times come upon you, don't be surprised, Peter says, as if something strange is happening to you, this fiery ordeal. Instead, rejoice, and you will be overjoyed when the day comes for the glory of Jesus to be revealed to everyone. Peter is telling us that in the midst of the hard time, if we trust that situation to Jesus, even as he did, as his fellow disciples did, the presence of Jesus begins to form us and shape us in a way that as we are carried through that challenging time, we look back at it and we celebrate the fact that we experience the power of God in the very midst of the storm. And as we move ahead into the good future that God has for us, we are confident that there is nothing that can come against us, nothing that the grace of God in Jesus cannot enable us to overcome. And so this morning, if you're here and this is a challenging time for you and you're scrambling, what's the future going to look like? How much longer am I going to have to deal with this? What do I have to look forward to? How does my faith in Christ sustain me? Do you not see? Do you not see that this very moment, if you give it to God, might enable you to experience just something of what Jesus did for you? That by meditating on what it is that God is trying to do in your life at this hour, God is preparing you for something more in the days to come. Hard times are not times that we best meet as people of faith in haste. In haste. But they are times in which we are slowed down for a purpose, to contemplate and to reflect and to think more deeply about how God's grace is at work in us to enable us to emerge through this moment as a deeper and stronger believer. When I was growing up, one of the first passages of Scripture after John 3:16 that I committed to memory was the 23rd Psalm. I bet that's a passage of Scripture that you remember memorizing at a certain point in your faith journey. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You can say it by heart even now. By heart. It's there in the core of your being. But I will acknowledge that there is a verse in the 23rd Psalm that early on I found deeply challenging. It's that part of that wonderful psalm where we are told that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you know how the rest of the verse goes, I will fear no evil. But some of us don't get to that fear no evil part because we're hesitant about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I can remember as a young boy, that's the last place I want to be, in the valley of the shadow of death. And if God ever sees fit to put me in such a place, the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be walking through it. I'm going to be running through it for all I am worth. Yea, though I'll run through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's what my heart was telling me. But now that I'm a little older, a lot older, I'm becoming more aware of the wisdom of the walk and not wasting the opportunity that exists when we find ourselves having to go through valleys of the shadow of death. But seeking in the midst of that particular challenging season, the presence of God and the power of God, that God might use it to form us and shape us into something that on the other side will make us a better person. Might that be a word that you need to hear this morning? Don't waste this opportunity. As difficult as it is, I'm not minimizing the pain and the suffering, not for a moment. We all feel it. But what might it be like if in some way we chose to see it as a gift, a great opportunity to identify more deeply with the sufferings of Christ? Then we would not be surprised at this particular fiery ordeal, this painful time, as if something strange were happening to us. Instead, we would keep trusting, keep walking, keep trusting, keep walking, keep trusting, keep walking. As Peter says, we would be walking and trusting our way through this moment with our faith in our faithful Creator, that we would know that the Spirit of God and the Spirit of glory are resting securely upon us. We are not alone. This morning, your life is in God's hands. And the same power that saw Jesus through His time of fiery ordeal to resurrection glory. His power that saw Jesus through because of your faith will without question do exactly the same thing for you. Let's bow together for a time of prayer. God, we are thankful that when life treats us harshly, presses all of our anxious buttons, that we can find rest and comfort and power and hope in the promise that we do not face them by ourselves and certainly not in our own power. For some of us, this time is a gift because we can't possibly rely on the resources that you make available to us when we still rely on our own resources. And it's only when our own resources are exhausted that we begin looking beyond ourselves, that we begin looking beyond ourselves to you. So do in us and through us that which only you can do, that which you promise to do. So we pray. In Jesus' name, and for our sakes, amen.